I think it's on. Okay. Okay, so let's continue a little bit with this inyan of Yotza v'Rosh HaParua. I don't really have much to add to the standard raid, but we'll go through some of the raid and mention some of the famous opinions. A couple of things I really don't understand at all, so I'll leave them for you to figure out. So we mentioned last time that if you read the Gemara according to Rashi and Tosfos, you end up with this the cheshbon that the Gemara has in terms of the difference between chatzer versus the shuk, right? So in the shuk, so there's we're choshesh for das Moshe and das Yehudas, right? In other words, so a kolsa is not sufficient as a covering in the shuk. And therefore, we say that she's yotzei shelo b'ksuva, right? So that's because, and then the Gemara says, well, we do have a statement in the name of Yochanan that kolsa ein ba mishum perua rosh. So the question is, where is that made? So in the shuk, we said, of course, it's not true. In the chatzer, so the chatzer, I assume, first means in the privacy of her own home. So he says, "Imkein lo inachta baslav rama vino shi yosheves tachas baila." Right. So it says that's impossible. Also, because then you're never going to allow a woman to live normally with her husband. So Abai says, "Mechatzel chatzel v'derech mavui." So it mentioned that Rashi and Tosfos explain that afilu below kol sanami is loshen Tosfos. Afilu below kol sanami ein bo mishum prius rosh. Right, so he says, talking about in the chatzah, you don't need anything, but mechatzah lechatzah derech mavui, you need to have a seemingly a kolsa, right? So some type of covering, right? And we mentioned last time, I think the Rush. Do we mention that Rush? All right, whatever. The Rush quotes from the Yerushalmi. The Rif also brings down this Yerushalmi. The Rush is in. Same siman, it's a long siman. Siman Tes. The Russian Siman Tes. Right? So he just quotes one quick line from the Yerushalmi. It's the Yerushalmi Halacha Zayin. Chatzer Shaharabim Bokinbo, Hare Hukimavui Shein Harabim Bokinbo. Right? Hare Hukim. I'm sorry, I totally read that wrong. Let's do it again. Chatzer Shaharabim Bokinbo, Hare Hukimavui. Period. Right? If you have a chatzer that people pass through it, so then obviously that's like a mavui. She'ein a rabim bokimbo, harayu kechatzer. And if nobody ever shows up, if you have a mavui, you know, that or a chatzer or he doesn't mention the word mavui, but mistami means if you have a mavui that nobody ever walks through, so that's like a chatzer. So I don't know that he's being mechadish this unbelievable idea. I think he's just saying it's very practical, meaning when is it okay? And Agos Ashri here just mentions from the Mariach, he says that v'hayna b'shesarabim uv'chatzer lo havi afilu das Yehudis afilu below kolsa. That's mashma like we saw in Tosfos, right? That in the chatzer there's no inyan whatsoever, even if your hair is completely uncovered, so there is no din das Moshe das Yehudis. It's totally mutter without any covering. And I think what the Rush and the Rif quote from this Yerushalmi is very poshut, that it's a practical eitzah. It's not, there's no special din. It's not like Hilchos Erevin where you have a special din of a chatzer versus a mavui versus Rishisarabim. It's poshut that if people will be going there, then she has a chiyuv to at least have some kind of covering. If nobody's going to be there, if it's just, you know, the woman and her husband, then she doesn't have a chiv to cover her hair at that time. So I think that's the lechara davar pashut. I assume that's what these Rishonim are talking about. Hopefully we'll be able to get back to this a little bit later. I just wanted to mention one opposing view is if you look in the Dapi Arif on Lamed Beis Amid Beis, so the Shilti Giborim here has a long os beis. It's broken up into two paragraphs. In the second paragraph, he quotes the Riaz and he says, "Va'afilu hoisa kolsal rosha hoil velo hoisa mechusa betziif areza midarki aprutzos the teitzei velo ksuva velo tosefes." Fine. Period. So he's saying, like we saw in the Rambam last time, that she has to have this like super
double covering, otherwise she's violating Das Yehudis, even though Das Moshe is covered by a kolsa. Right? Hoysa yotza mechatz lechatzar derech mavui bekolsa rosha ein bazemishim pritzus v'mhaya hamavui mefulush mibezat stadin harehu kirshisarabim. So he says, Pashat, like we saw in the Lashon the Yerushalmi, that if it's a mavui mefulush, right? We mentioned last time the mavui sasim versus mavui mefulush. Mavui sasim is a dead end street. Mavui mefulush is an open ended, a two ended street. Like I think b'zman hazeh, like if you could just imagine the dead end is right there, right? So if you can imagine the dead end would have a similar din to a mavui sasim, right? And everyone's front yard, assuming that they were all fenced in and people used to use them, that would have a din of a chatzer, right? And then when it empties out into peninsula, that would be a din of shesurab. That's the best comparison I could come up with from, you know, the Talmudic Bavel to Woodmere. That like you have everybody's front yard constitutes a chatzer. Again, in those days, the ikker entrance to your home was the entrance to the chatzer, not even the entrance to the house, right? Because your ikker tashmish was in the chatzer. And the chatzer usually had a roof on it, and it was fenced in on all sides, and you had some privacy there. So the chatzer, you know, so everybody's front yard, pretend that everybody had those nice, big plastic fences around their front yard. And that's the chatzer. And then everybody would empty out. To get from one chatzer to the next, you'd have to take the mavui. So I don't know, what's the name of the street that's the dead end? It's a standard name. No, it's because it continues on. It's one of the streets. Howard? It's not Howard. It is Howard? It's not Howard? The dead end's not called Howard? Okay. Let's call it Howard. Anyway, so the dead end version of Howard would be the mavui, and that would officially be called a mavui sasim. Now the mavui sasim there wouldn't have perhaps the maybe for Hilchos Erevin would have a din of a mavui sasim, and you could be machshir it with only a korah, but for the purposes of women's head coverings, it definitely doesn't have a din of a mavui sasim like we're talking about, because you have all the windows opening out to it, and you have people, everybody who comes out of their house passes right through there. So in those days, nobody went to a mavui sasim unless they lived, you know, one of the three houses off of that mavui. You know, and the chances that you're going to bump into somebody are negligible. So therefore, it wasn't really an issue. But bizman hazeh, if you have, I think it's just a davar pasha. You have to use seichel. You know, you have to use seichel to realize that when you're going to bump into people, when you're not going to bump into people. I assume that's what it means. Let me finish up what he says here. So going in such a mavui where that's the same thing as Rishis Rab. So I'm not sure what he means by Kachi Shitas Talmud Eretz Yisrael at the end. I think you have to take out that second to last line and then say Kachi Shitas Talmud Eretz Yisrael, and then say the second to last line afterwards, if you want to understand exactly what he's getting at. Because really, what does he say at the end? He says, even in the chatzer, she has a chiyuv to wear a kolsa, right? So that's the Yerushalmi Shita. But is that the Yerushalmi Shita? That's not the same Yerushalmi that the Rif and the Rush are quoting. The Rif and the Rush were quoting the Yerushalmi, which backs up everything else that he said, but not the bit about the fact that she has a chiyuv to wear a kolsa even in the chatzer. So I don't know. I'm not sure what... but like the Bach, I think, is very into this Shilta Gibarim. I think the Bach likes it. He wants to say that there could be a chiyuv to wear kolsa even in the chatzar. What? Well, no. He says it's the Yerushalmi shita. So saying, again, I didn't see the Yerushalmi. I don't know. But this is known as the shita of the Shulta Gibarim, that there is a chiyuv for women to wear a head covering even in the house. We'll get back to this later. I was told, again, I don't know. If somebody wants to verify this information, I'm not even going to mention about whom I heard it, because I don't want to say it if it's not true. That there is a certain posek who says that women in their own homes never have to cover their hair, even if people are coming over. I'm not sure why. Saying, I would assume it's totally in this sugya. But at least the way I'm reading it, and maybe I'm wrong, but at least the way I'm reading it, it seems a davar pashut that we're not talking about geography here. We're not learning Hilchos Erevin that it's tully in whether or not you're in a chatzer or a mavli sasim or a mavli mefulish. It's tully in whether or not it's shchichi barabim. If people are going to be there, then you have a chiyuv at least al pidas Yehudit, pidas Moshe to cover. And if people are not going to be there, you have a chiyuv. If people are not going to be there, so you don't have a chiyuv, right? And then the Shilta Gibarim wants to add on that even if people aren't going to be there, the Shilta Gibarim wants to add on even if it's your own home and it's lav dafka, then you still have a chiyuv at least to keep partial covering. That was that's going to be yotzei das Moshe. Yeah.
But if there's more than three people in the house, then a covering is required.
Why? Because of the pasuk of Gadu Lashem Iti? I'm saying, what? Was it Din Zimun? Like, what does that mean?
Is like three or more considered like a rabbim or something?
What?
Is three or more considered a rabbim? Or,
you
know, does that make like...
You can make a Zimun. I don't know what that means. Like, what do you mean? It's not a Din Erevin. I'm saying it's not a Din in Hotzah and Shabbos. It's not a Suffolk Tumah. I'm saying, I don't... I'm saying, why are we Mechalik to him? It's a rabbim or it's a yachid. It's a din erva. It's not. I'm saying the Gemara in Brachis says Seir beisha erva, and we pass in halacha lemaisa. Let's just excuse me. I don't want to say we pass. I'll bring down the sheetis, but I'm saying we assume that there's a strong view in halacha that even with her own husband, if a woman's own husband is not allowed to say kriyishma in front of her uncovered hair. So what's tully in three versus none versus one? I don't know. I'm mamish asking. I'm not saying that it's definitely not true. I'm saying like Lamaisa. By now you realize even with this thing in my pocket, I still say what's on my mind. So I'm not joking if I say that I really don't. Like I'm asking. I'm not telling that it just doesn't make sense to me based on what I've seen. Not, you know, yeah.
I mean, in the 2 days of Rashi, we saw like it makes sense to be mechalek in terms of like Bushi Chile Rabin and like how many people are there. If you say that the pshat is all that preaches, but. According to the thing that Rashi said, that it's just because that since we saw that we were uncovering hair, Mechlal, that it was a Derech Mazara, Lotzes. So it was only there Derech Lotzes. And if it wasn't there, it was never there Derech, but we're in the house. So it's not about preachers necessarily, it's about the minute they accepted. They never accepted we're in the house.
Okay. I mean, I guess if you want to ignore, you know, if you want to ignore the basic Mesoras of Halacha to play the two deist game in Rashi, okay. I'm saying, I hear the Taina. Even Rav Moshe wasn't really, he was really, that part of the tshuva, at least the way I understood it, that part of the tshuva was really just learning up the Rashi. Not really, like, that wasn't his Iker. His Iker Psak was that he held that it was a Dinder Rabbanon, and therefore you could be Mekel, but Malkum have some Meruba. You know? But okay, I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe that's the Diuk. But certainly based on the back and forth that exists between Rashi and Tosus versus the Shilta Gibarim over here, it sounds like it's just tully in what's going to be, you know, what's going to be, what the situation is really going to be. Yeah. The Yerushalmi that the Rush quotes is Lomala V'Lomor, and he's just saying that it's not Lav Dafka Din and Chatzar versus, it's Lav Dafka Din and Chatzar versus Mavui, right? It's a Din... You know, it's a din if people go that way. You know, if you happen to have, you're very makbid on what was it, Yossi Ben Yoezer's Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So he says that your house is a constant stream of visitors. So then, who cares that it's your chutzah versus your house? Saying there's people coming in and out. That's, you know, I don't know. Okay, I mean, it's a tzarchian. That's why I give you homework after this particular chabura, because there are a lot of open ended things I don't understand. Okay, but Lamaisa, that seems to be one issue that has to be dealt with in this area. Okay, that was just one side point, and we'll get back to it a little bit in terms of understanding halach Lamaisa, what to do in your own home. There is an additional level of tznias, so just mention it now, that the Gemara in Yuma, the Mishnah Berurah actually quotes this Gemara halach Lamaisa. The Gemara in Yuma mentions a woman by the name of Kimchis, that she was zocheh to have children who were Kohanim Gidolim because of the level of tznius that says that the Kurus Besa never saw her hair. That literally the beams of her house, she never uncovered her hair, you know, even in her own home. So she was so makbid on Inyanei tznius that she was zocheh to have sons who were tremendous individuals. Somebody once pointed out to me that means at least one of her sons died during her lifetime, because how could they both be a Kohen Gadol? Okay, it's Kasha. I don't know. I thought Al Regalachas. I thought what?
One of them became Tameh.
One of them became Tameh. Maybe. I thought maybe the pshat is dafka that it was. That's how you know it was her zchus and not her children's zchus. And maybe in Achinami, one of them went into the. Again, this is pure speculation. Maybe one of them went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he wasn't roy, because he was only there. The zchus is mother. So when he showed up into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, forget about it, you know. But okay, maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, just but it is noteworthy that the Mishnah Berurah does quote Alach LaMaisa that this is considered a good chumrah if somebody's looking for chumras. So this is a legitimate good chumrah that if somebody's interested in, you know, making someone else do it, since we're all guys. So if you're interested in forcing a chumrah on someone else, this is a good one. Anyway, so
even in front of like her husband,
I assume her husband is included in the Kuros Besa. I don't. Yeah. Where is this? Mishnah Berurah 9 Hey, around Sifkat and Yud, but it's not in Sifkat and Yud, I don't think. It might be in the Bir Alocha there. I don't remember. I didn't. For some reason, I had it in my head that it was in a dark emotion Kuftzadik Hey in Yerodea, and I kept like that's what I was looking at right before. I was like looking through Kuftzadik Hey and all the dark emotions, and it wasn't there. So I looked in my notes. I had it from the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Ayin Hey. So I'm not really sure why I didn't notice it, but I. Still have in the back of my mind that the Darkei Moshe brings it down in Hilchos Nida also. But I didn't notice it recently. Okay. What else? So we have a famous tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer is discussing two inyanim. Basically, inyan number one is exactly this issue. Does a woman have a chiyuv to cover her hair indoors in her own home? And number two is how much of her hair is allowed to remain uncovered. So I'm not going to get into number one. We mentioned in brief, you know, he's very machmir in terms of that he says that a woman should be knowing even inside the home to have her hair covered. You could check out the tshuva to see the discussion over there. But just in terms of how much of a woman's hair has to be covered, so there's a very famous statement of the Chedushia Rashba in Meseches Brachos. It's on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara is discussing what's considered erva le'inyan kriyishma, and that's the famous Gemara: Seir b'isha erva, Kol b'isha erva, Shok b'isha erva. Yeah, there's more, but I think there's more. But anyway, the Gemara there, and the Rashba there is in Divrei Maschil V'ha. So he just writes in passing. So he says that the hair, which is yotze chutz litzmasa, eino erva, it's not considered erva, and it's mutter to read kriyishma kenegda. And he explains why, dekvar ragil bohen, because this is something which is considered normal, the man who's seeing it is not going to think twice about it, right? And he says, it's kimo kol dibura yodea viragleh. It's like her speaking voice, which were ragil behen, where there's no iser of erva by a woman's speaking voice, as well as her hands and her feet, which is also not considered an erva. So the Chasam Sofer is doche the shita of Rashba, and he says that the Rashba is we're not somech on that Rashba alach lamaisa, and he said,
what do you say goes lower than the what?
Chutz. So that's the question. He says, what does that mean? So he wants to say that we're not going to use that Rashba to understand that a woman is allowed to have any hair sticking out. He says, rather, what's the pshat over there? They used to wear two things. They wore a hat, and he says, what's this tzmasa? So he says that it was, and he quotes a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, and he tries to bring a raya that, and the Gemara actually quotes that pasuk, I believe, but he tries to explain that she would have a hat on the top of her head, and then underneath the hat there would be an additional beged. There'd be an additional. Some women wear this, in a lot of the, in the Frum Zionist crowd in Eretz Yisrael, they don't wear shekels, so a lot of women wear things like this. What? Oh, I didn't notice what exactly. I knew she had a hat. I didn't notice if she had dafka the.
I don't know if she had something.
I'm saying, but I'm saying that a lot of the Merkas Harav Chevra and that style of in the from Zionist community, what they'll wear is a hat, and then they'll, if they're still, you know, if the woman has longer hair, so they'll wear like some type of a tichel underneath the hat that covers any hair that would be coming out. So the Chasam Sofer wants to say that's what the Rashi was talking about. And if he says Yimamish can't be mitzamsim every single stray hair underneath that second tichel, that's what was Ragil Latzis Chutzal Tzma. So that's what the Rashi held was mutter, but nothing significant, right? He says that he's not willing to accept that Rashi Lach Lamaisa. Although the Ramah does quote that Rashba, you know, almost word for word in Siman Ayin Hey Sif Beis, he quotes the Rashba. He doesn't explain it. He just says whatever hair was ruggled to come out, chutz l'tzma, so that is considered mutter and it's not considered a problem of erva. But the Rashba, the Chasam Sofer wants the taina that was a very tiny amount of hair, and even so, he says you shouldn't be solmich on that Rashba anyway. And he also quotes from the Maran al-Shakir. The Maran al-Shakir has a tshuva in Siman Lamed Hey. And he writes that they used to have a minig, that they used to have some type of a reverse ponytail. I'm not sure exactly what the hairstyle was, but some type of a bangs that would come, he says, what was between the ears would go down to the forehead. They used to have one, like, forward-facing... Not a mohawk, I don't think I'm saying, like a forward-facing ponytail or something that would be showing, and he says and the Maran al-Shakir wants to tell you that was even going on in the times of Chazal and no one ever had a problem with it, and that's totally mutter, just one little thing coming out from underneath the hat, that's already totally mutter and there's nothing to talk about. And he tries to bring a raya from a Zohar that supports him. That it's mutter to have some of this hair coming out. And the Chasam Sofer says, not only do we not paskin like that, Maran al-Shakir, but if you actually read the Zohar, it's saying the exact opposite, that you shouldn't have any, not even a mashu of hair coming out. And he writes that even if you hold al-Pidina de Gemara, that it is mutter to have a little bit of hair coming out, and some great Rishonim did say that, but Lamaisa, other Rishonim argue, And he says, and we have a klal minig oker halachi. He says because the minig has been that all the righteous women in Klal Yisrael have accepted not to even let a tiny bit of hair come out, and he says and that's been the accepted psak. Even if you want to say that's a minority of shittas and rishonim, and therefore we say minig oker halachas. He says what's the pshat minig oker halacha? It's a dangerous phrase, right? He says minig oker halacha means that even if you want to argue that in Shas Bavli the halacha is push it one way. But if there's what we call svarim chitzonim, not the negative view of svarim chitzonim, but if non-shas svarim, and he quotes what they are, he writes, for example, the Zohar, or Masechtas Ketanos, like Masechtas Sofrim, or something like that, one of those types of svarim that aren't in shas, but are still part of the halachic mesorah, though, if it says in one of those svarim, and it seems that the Rov of Klal Yisrael has paskin like that shita, so then we say minig oker halacha, and the minig you're allowed to be machmir like and say the halacha lamaisa. You have to follow the Zohar rather than follow the Gemara. That's how the Chasam Sofer basically says it over. Okay, and that's and he has more. You can take a look in the tshuva. It's a very good tshuva. Well, I mean, obviously he does not need my haskam. Yes.
Going back with the whole girl having her hair covered. I guess at all times. So I mean, obviously, Mikra didn't like. She doesn't have to in front of her husband, correct?
Well, I don't know. Meaning, I don't know. Hold off on that. I think I'm going to try my best to give some practical ramifications to that, but we'll see. Okay. Rav Moshe has a very famous tshuva. Rav Moshe is a very famous tshuva. He has, as I mentioned last time, he has many, many tshuvas on this topic. Which is kind of ironic because I'll read to you what he writes at the beginning of this tshuva. This tshuva is in Chelek Aleph Evan Ezer Simen Nun Ches. It's the next tshuva after the one I told you about last time. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. I'll just read you the opening paragraph of the tshuva. I pasted it into my notes. He just says, Hinei Michtav Kvod Torah Sarab Harishon Higiani Bizman. He says, I got your first letter. Don't think I didn't get it. Ava Levad Shaisi Tarad Ma'od. So he said I was busy but that's not really why I didn't answer you. He says I just didn't want to write about this topic. So he says because it's enough if somebody needs a kula and you need to give him a kula, so you tell it to him verbally, and you don't need to write a tshuva about all your big kulas. So says Aval Ata Shekibalti Michtav Sheni Mikvot Torah Sarav Rabbeinu Arav Alzeh says if I keep quiet again, it's just going to confuse people. He says, listen, twofold. Number one, people are getting confused as to what my sheet is. Number two, if you have a halachically valid opinion, you have a chiyuv to be mefarshim it, even if it's a kula. So he says, you have a chiyuv to tell people what you think the Torah says. V'af im hu neged divrei ha-gon echad, even if it's against a great gon. Havale nichalu hu la-gaonim she-edfisu divreim u-piskeim she-aboyim achreim yivchenu achar divreim im achu l'shem shamayim leida hadin al... What does he say there? Not sure what I got a smudge. Anyway, so he says, l'maisa... Even things that, you know, I think everybody's happy that Sfarim have been written, and that the earlier poskim decided to write Sfarim so that we could now be Nosei V'Noktein in the Milchamta Shel Torah. And I'm adding words here, but Kamavor back to any, okay, fine. But that's basically what he was saying. He was reluctant to publish this tshuva. He was reluctant to publish this tshuva, and he did so anyway, because it was getting a little confusing. What is Rav Moshe Shita when it comes to this matter? Okay. So what is Rav Moshe Shita? So he writes that he definitely disagrees with pretty much everything the Chasam Sofer said. He starts off, I'll save what he starts off with till the end, but he says, where do we get this whole din of the Isser of Priyas HaRosh from? Where do we get this from? We get it from the Sota, right? We get it from the Sota. So how much of the Sota's hair was uncovered when she would be on trial? So he says, Mestama, Rove at least. Probably Rove Rosha, right? So he says, the problem with that is you're not going to learn an amount of what's considered an uncovered head because there's no specified amount when it comes to the Sota. And you can't be more Machmir seemingly than whatever the Torah says over there, because that's the Makor. Right? So therefore he says, I'm not really sure what the amount is, but at the very least, what we can learn out is that the Rosh is considered a Makam HaMechusa. Right? And therefore, one can argue that the Rosh is considered Erva. Right? And therefore, we can also then Cheshbon what the amount is, because we have a rule in the same Gemara in Brachis, that says Seir B'Isha Erva, says Tefach B'Isha Erva, right? It says Tefach B'Isha Erva. He says when it comes to Machomas HaMechusin, there's a din that when it comes to someone noticing what is uncovered in terms of Erva, there is a din that up to a Tefach seems to be okay. And therefore, if it's less than a Tefach, it doesn't have a regular din of Erva.
What's the phrase
here? Tefach B'Isha Erva. The Gemara said, take a look at that Gemara in Brachis. It lists off these things, and obviously, by the way, we're not talking about istaklus bekavana lehanos. That's pashut, right? That's the Gemara says, and the Rambam writes in Hilchos Issurei Bia that afilu etzba ketana v'niskaven lehanos kilu istakal b'makom haTorah or something like that. Says that that's already if you're looking at any part of a woman, whether it's makomos hamachusos or makomos hamagulos, that's istaklus is an issa daraisa v'lo sasur acharei einechem. So that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about something which is usher to just, you know, notice. Something that's usher that if you're walking down the street and someone is not dressed properly, it's not that you're not supposed to stare at them. Avadi, you're not supposed to stare at them. That doesn't matter what they would be wearing. Right? But you're not really supposed to really look at all if it's considered what we call makomos hamachusin shebeguf. Right? And that's what's usher for a woman to not cover. And that's what's usher for a man to even look at. Right? If a person's derech mikra, if he's walking down the street, so you do your best not to look, but certainly it's an obligatory for all Jewish women to try their best to make sure that those are the areas that are covered. But lamaisa, it seems to be that up to a tefach of that is even mutter. So it says, there is the shita of the Ramah. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch in Ayin Hey Sif Aleph quotes from the Gos Maimoni. The Ramah, the Makaris in the Ramah quoted from the Gos Maimoni. The Gos Maimoni is actually saying it over in the Lashon, in within the Lashon Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Kriyishma, Perek Gimel Alach Tezayin. And the Lashon of the Rambam goes like this. It's Kol Gufa Isha Erva, Lefichach Lo Yistakel B'Gufa Isha Kishu Kore. Vafilu Ishto, Vimhaya Megula Tefach Migufa Lo Yikra Kenegda. So the Lashon of the Rambam is, you shouldn't stare at a woman while you're saying Kriyishma. And he says, even if it's your wife, and if, and forgetting about staring, if there was a tefach of her guf, which I'm assuming the Rambam is referring to Mekomos HaMechusin, if there's a tefach of her guf that was uncovered, you should not even read Kriyat Shema Kenegda. Meaning, not even if you're not looking, even if you're not looking. Just if you're in the line of sight, let's just say, for argument's sake, not without getting into the halachas of what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. But if you're in the line of sight from a tefach, then you're not allowed to. Then you're not allowed to say Kriyat Shema Kenegda. So the Gos Maimoni is medayik from the Lashon of the Rambam, and the Bahag writes this Beferish that what the Rambam is talking. What's the topic of the whole sentence? One's own wife. So he says that's when you're not allowed to say Kriyat Shema Kenegda if it's a tefach or more, right? But he's saying that's only your own wife. But if it's someone else's wife, then even less than a tefach is a problem. Any amount of Mekomos HaMechusin being revealed is a problem. Right, so, and the Ramah picks up on that, and the Ramah quotes a Yesh Omrim that says that the din of tefach bisha erva is only with one's own wife, but with someone else's wife, then it's any mekomos hamechusos that are revealed is problematic. So Rav Moshe says, according to that, maybe there is no heter to keep up to a tefach of one's hair uncovered. So he says, nah. Well, first of all, it happens to be if you read on in the Ramah, he seems to quote that the ikar day is that even with someone else's wife. It is mutter up to a tefach. But lemaisa, even if you're going to be machmir, Moshe says there's a difference between parts of the body versus the hair. So, okay, I'm going to explain the way I understood Rav Moshe. The words over here and are very difficult to understand. You should definitely try to read the tshuva yourself and see what you think. This is the way I understood it. So, Ramosha basically is saying that when it comes to the basar, when it comes to a person's actual body, there the din of Mekomos HaMechusin is because that is objectively erva. In other words, shok b'isha erva, zroa b'isha erva, I'm saying that type of thing, that's objective, that it's covered because it's erva. But when it comes to the hair, it's actually the opposite. Hair is not objectively erva, and the number one raya is that for a pnuya, there's no chiv to cover your hair. So it can't be that hair is objectively erva. When it comes to a pnuya versus a nesua, everything else is the same, right? When it comes to the way a person dresses. But when it comes to hair, there's no chiv for a pnuya to cover it, because that's not really erva. So why is it that hair is considered Mekomos HaMechusin? Because there's a din that a married woman has to cover her hair. Memela here becomes Mekomos HaMechusin. Not the other way around. And therefore the tzad to be machmir, that any part of the woman's body constitutes erva, even up to a tefach, is only with something which is objectively erva, but not something which is erva because it's normally covered. So therefore, he basically comes out that even according to the more machmir daya in the Ramah, there is no tzadani machmir when it comes to hair about this. Purely halacha l'mais, saying, in terms of the halacha. In the end, he does recommend being machmir for the chasm sofer because he's the chasm sofer. You know, but l'mais, he definitely, if you read the tshuva, he definitely disagrees with the chasm sofer halacha, about the halacha, right? But anyway, he says that. So therefore, even according to that day in the Ramah, there is no tzad to be machmir for less than a tefach. Yeah.
What's the reason why you can't be looking at more than a tefach when it comes to Kriyat Shema? As in, like, what's the special thing about Kriyat Shema that it's
Oh, that's a good question. You learn the Gemara, you'll see. You'll see. It's no, you can't look at objective erva. I'm saying that's the vort. Correct. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. No. Well, we'll see. What about the hair? That's totally perhaps in the same cheshbon. Yeah.
So that means like certain things could just become erva based on like.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. If you live in a place where everybody dresses a certain way, let's say for example you live in Bnei Brak. I'm under the impression that in Bnei Brak people are machmer. There's a big machlok is what's considered the shok, right? The Mishnah Berurah holds the shok is the knee and above. That's the way I understand the Mishnah Berurah, right? And there are those, by the way, you want to say pshat in the Ramah only applies to the shok because the shok is more of a makom here than everywhere else. So in other words, so it's a machlokes. What constitutes the shok? Is the shok the knee and above? Is it the thigh area of a person or is it the ankle area of a person below the knee? So that's halacha lemaisa. There are many poskim on either side. It's not so poshut. So that's one of the reasons why many women are machmir to wear stockings, because if you hold that the din of the shok is not the knee, rather it's the ankle, so really make her a din, one would have to cover their ankles as well, so they'll try to wear some type of a stocking which is officially a cover for the rest of her leg. But lamaisa, the Mishnah Berurah is makel, and the Mishnah Berurah says that it's from the knee and above, and he writes Beferish that if it's a makam where people do not wear socks, or I assume he writes makam that a minig is that they're holy chiyachif. They walk barefoot. I assume he's not just referring to like from the ankle and below. I assume he's referring to all the way up. So then he says there's no isser whatsoever to that. But that's l'shita, so that he holds from the knee. I believe that's quoted as Ramosha's opinion, Shlom Zama's opinion. I looked in the Piskei Tshuvos quickly. He quotes tons of poskim on either side, the Kedarko. Anyway. No, so I didn't finish the whole part. So basically, so let's say, but in Bnei Brak, I think they're machmir not that way. Although it's debatable what the Chazon Ish really held, if it's mashma both ways in a sefer, whether he was at least mesupik, what was considered the ikar shok, but I think in Bnei Brak everybody's machmir to assume that the ankle's considered the shok. So if a person would be found in a place in Bnei Brak and a woman was dressed, what would be kahalacha elsewhere, but in certain places, but not based on the minig amakom in Bnei Brak, so yeah, that would have a din makom samachusin. Yeah.
My question is, can you go the opposite way? Like, if everyone agrees that at least from the knee up is erva in a makom that you can't say that in a makom where that's not done, that's not considered erva.
No, so that's the thing. If you go to, let's say, Hawaii and everybody's walking around in a bathing suit, so the basic standards don't change. I'm saying, look in Siman INA, you get all the basic, I don't know all, but you get the basic outline of what is considered erva, what's considered erva, and I don't know, I'm whatever. I'll get back to that. Yeah.
According to the Shin Zermacher, the shok is above the ankle. But do they hold that it has to be dark stockings or even any covering?
I don't know. I've seen poskim write dafka, it should be something which is a visible stocking that you know it's covered. Right? It should be anything like. There's different styles based on different communities. Some wear dafka with a seam, so you shouldn't have a habamini that it's not a stocking, you'll see the seam. You know, so I don't know. There was a lashon that one of my rabbis used to use, the bulletproof stockings. So okay, so they're machmer that they should be bulletproof. I don't know. So okay, lemaisa. Let's just get back to this a little bit. That's Ramosha's famous sheet about the Tefach, and he says that he really tries to take the Chasam Sofer to task on the way he learns up the Rashba. He says, if you look in the Lashna Rashba, so he says, how could you say that the Rashba is talking like the Rambam? Like, remember last time we did the sheet that's a Rambam, that they used to wear two things, so the Chasam Sofer wants to say something very similar within the Rashba, that it was talking about two different begadim. There was a kova on top, and then and then this other cloth underneath, right? So he says it's just. So he says he doesn't think that's the pshat at all. He says, how do we know? What's the dimyon that the Rashba makes? The Rashba talks about seyer that's yotze chutzitz masan, that he's rugil bohen, like the speaking voice, like Yadayim V'Raglayim. So he says that how could you say that it's talking about something which was completely covered and Memela, something might slip out. He says, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about something which they were no way to be very makel about. So he says, that's the Dimyon. It's talking, and he, Reb Moshe, I don't know where exactly gets the idea from. He says, it could be very well the Rashi was talking about more than a Tefach. He says, he doesn't know. He says, but Lamaisa, to say that it's talking about that they were super machmir, and then whatever slipped out of the biggest chumrah, he says, it just doesn't fit into the flow of what the Rashi was trying to say. So he says, the Rambam says like that. So he says, Enochinami, the Rambam says like that, but that's only Das Yehudis. That's not Das Moshe. So Memele says, and then he says, he quotes the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, right? The Pasuk, it's in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Gimel. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, that the Chasam Sofer is darshening, that it's praising the Jewish women for keeping their hair betoch litzmasan, inside the tzmasan, right? So he says, what's the pshat there? So he says, they see that the women were makbid to keep every single thing inside that area, right? Inside that cloth. So he says, but Ramosha says, but that's definitely only Das Yehudis. So how could the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim be praising us for Das Yehudis? He says, doesn't see it. He says, okay, Lamaisa, he really doesn't think that the Chasam Sofer's argument over there is very compelling. He thinks the Rashba stands, and he says the Rashba is being extremely makel, not extremely machmir with a possible kula. Right? What? No, he's saying no, lav dafka. But the point is that whatever the minig was at those times, it's not considered erva lagabi kriyishma. And Reb Moshe wants to say he was talking about a decent amount of hair. He wasn't talking about only. A tiny single hair or second hair, two, three hairs. At the end, he writes that lemaisa, it's worthwhile to be machmer for the Chasam Sofer. He writes, "Hoil the nafik mipume de gon gadol." He says, since this is what came out of the mouth of a great gon, so he says, and he says also in terms of the what Reb Moshe argues on the Chasam Sofer within the chiyuv to cover the hair even in the house. He says also it's kedai to be machmer the Chasam Sofer, but halacha lemaisa, he says it's totally mutter. He says the ein lehimanos afilu tamad chacham v'yerei shemayim ilisa isha shirotzel hakel. He says, even a person who considers himself a Talmud Chacham and a Yorei Shemayim should not refrain from marrying a woman who's only planning on covering her hair up to, and leaving out up to a Tefach, not like the Chasam Sofer. He says, even though Lamaisa, it's always good to do what the Chasam Sofer says. You won't go wrong. But Lamaisa, you shouldn't shter the Shidduch because you know that your future wife only plans on leaving out up to a Tefach of hair uncovered. Yeah, so that's how he comes out in terms of halacha. By the way, just similarly, I neglected to mention the Rush in Brachas writes a Davar Pashut, as we'll see a little later, that this only applies to Nesuos, it doesn't apply to Pnuyos, right? And the Rush writes that since the Derech of Pnuyos was to go around with the hair uncovered, so we're totally Ragel B'kach, and therefore there's no Isser to say Kriyashma or anything in front of a Pnuya whose hair is uncovered. Where is that? I mean, the Rush is Shayach to the Gemara on Chav Dalet, but where actually is the Rush? What's Simon? Simon Lamed Zion in Perek Gimel. Okay. So the Kasha is very simple. Like, who cares what you're ruggling? Like you were saying before, so if you're ruggled to live in Miami Beach, right off the beach, so okay, so you're ruggling a lot of things. That doesn't change the halacha. So if there's a din that the hair has to be covered, it has to be covered, finished. So you can't read Kriyishma even for a Pnuya. So I think it's a Davar Pashut that the Rush was understanding in the way we said over in the name of Reb Moshe, that where's the whole din learned from? It's all learned from the Isha Sota. The Isha Sota, so you can't learn a bigger Chiddush than the Makor. Right? So if the Makor of the whole din is a married woman, so Mamela, you can only learn that it's a Gnai for a married woman to keep her hair uncovered, but it's not a gnai for a pnuya to keep her hair uncovered. So I think that's the same svara that Reb Moshe was working with lachara. That's what all the poskim are going with in terms of knowing that it doesn't apply to a pnuya. Yeah.
Most wives do not cover their hair. So why wouldn't the halacha be different here?
Why would it or wouldn't it?
Say for regular.
We'll get back to that in a second. Again, it's the same. It's pretty much the same thing we were asking before with the husband. So we'll see. Okay. So Amaisa, one thing, just to just get up on my soapbox for a second. One thing, just in terms of, I've only been married for about 7.5 years, but Amaisa, in that time, I was zochet to be around the block a couple of times, and from what I've seen in the world, and certainly in Yoni Tznius, and specifically in terms of women's head covering. So first of all, like you mentioned, or exactly the opposite of what you mentioned, that the minig has come back, the women's head coverings have come back, especially I'll read you the Lashon Aruch HaShulchan about the Lithuanian women, and we're talking about wives of Gedolim and Rosh Yeshivas that in Lithuania that came out, no women covered their hair, saying so. So nowadays, the average Baal Buster who's getting married is buying some sort of a head covering. So what I've seen, so first of all, it's very important to keep in mind not to think that for people of our parents' generation, I guess my parents and your parents aren't even the same generation. So nice, people of our parents' generation, it just wasn't in style when they were growing up to wear some type of a head covering. It just wasn't on the agenda for people, even people with a lot of Yerush Shemayim, even people who are Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. You know, it wasn't on their radar. So you shouldn't ever think poorly of the level of Yerush Shemayim. I mean, you shouldn't be in the practice of doing that anyway. But Lamaisa, even if you are in the practice of doing it, you shouldn't think badly about the level of righteousness or Yerush Shemayim of a woman who was born in a previous generation that didn't cover or doesn't cover her hair still. I'm saying it just wasn't something that they grew up with. You know, and just wasn't on their radar of like what a frum Jew does per se. And fakeret, it's nowadays there are many women who cover their hair just because that's the style. There are many women who are not makbid on kominei tznius. You know, I don't want to get too into it, but lamaisa, every other beged is not kedin, and the sheitel is kedin. It's not the sheitel's not even kedin either, but it costs a lot of money. So anyway, I'm saying invested $2,500 in a sheitel, you know, and lamaisa, come on, you know. So it's very important to keep in mind that whether or not a woman covers her hair, it's the halacha. You have to follow it. There's nothing to talk about. And according to the row of poskim that we've seen, it's deraisa. You know, so there's nothing to talk about in terms of what to do. But keep in mind that again, you can't really gauge it as a reflection of a person's level of Yerush Shemayim. Say like everyone now say, oh, the mother's very frum, she covers her hair. There are many mothers who are extremely frum that don't cover their hair just because they didn't grow up with it. You know, and it's more of a social commentary than anything else. You know, and there's just way more to people than you know what type of head covering they purchased. You know, it's important to keep that in mind. But that being said, I just as a practical etza, the minig is definitely to be mekel like Rav Moshe. Apparently, we're talking about you know the minig seems to be mekel like Rav Moshe, but for Og Melech Habash and Stefa. But Rav Moshe is very clear at the end of his at the end of his tshuva. Rav Moshe writes that a tefach means two etzbos up, meaning it's a tefach is four etzbos, but the rochav of the face, Rav Moshe writes, is two tefachim. So if you have two etzbos up, you're going to get a tefach like that because it's half a tefach by two tefachim. So that's it. Meaning we're not talking about a tremendous amount of area. And again, we're talking about the area of the head, not the volume of hair per se. Again, I don't know how you gauge that exactly, but it's not talking about that. Like you make a kazayas out of the hair, and you cheshbon out exactly how much it's supposed to be. He's talking about the iser is priyas harosh, so the rosh is what's considered makam amchusa. So it has to be that only a tefach of the rosh. Now, practically speaking, what I've seen in terms of my own wife, you know, asking, and just. Mainly you end up noticing things because you remember how much everybody pays for these things and it drives you crazy. So like you notice people who set out to cover everything, like mamish every stray hair, end up being megala up to a tefach. People who set up to be megala tefach end up being megala many, many tefach. I'm saying that's just the metzias. Over the course of a day, people are busy. They're going from point A to point B. They're doing different things. They're working, they're working with their hands. Saying over the course of life of a lifetime, people who set out to cover everything managed to be mekayim Rav Moshe Shita. You know, of course, people who are very, very, very machmir either in terms of shaving their whole head, or there's a Hungarian minhag like that, right, in terms of shaving their whole head or shaving even the parts of the hair, let's say around here, that would stick out otherwise, saying obviously they will succeed at covering everything, but that's not really the minhag where we grew up. And I'm just telling you as a practical eitzah, it's not good to start off on the makel end of things, because you'll end up way, way, you know, by the end of the hour, not even the end of the day, but by the end of the hour, you're gonna end up, and shelo b'kavana, the woman's kavana is gonna be 100% l'shem shamayim when she does. This is the shita that she learned, and it's totally mutter. But l'maisa, it's totally mutter for the first 5, 10, 20, 30 minutes, and then after that, it's just way too much. You know, and it's like that in all in Yonit Sneas, that if you set out to be b'dieved, you're gonna end up much less than b'dieved, and if you set out to be very much l'charchila, then you'll know that you're always gonna be covered, you know. No terrible pun intended. Anyway, yeah.
Like a regular shape, does that cover
everything? Yeah, you'd be surprised. I'm saying, you're right, I don't know, whatever. You'll see. Yeah.
Do you think that halal is adopted by snus or like other halacha like in your house as well? I don't know, like a certain shita, you know, like cooking on Shabbos. I don't know, like there's more megal and then more or just like basar v'chol.
Cooking on Shabbos and basar v'chol and everything else. You should learn the halachas to the best of your ability. You should asay l'cha rav. You should find a rav to ask shaylas to, and whatever that rav paskins, that's what you should do. I'm giving you this eitzah just stam as a practical piece of advice. Halacha l'maisa, you just heard what you know what I know in terms of the halacha. I just told you a Moshe Tshuva. That's what I know. You know what I'm saying? But l'maisa, I'm just telling you just from being a little bit older, what the mitzias is. You know?
Right. But I'm saying, like, if that mitzias is true, I'm asking in other areas as well. You learned it up and you saw like it's machlokes poskim, like be a little bit more machmir in this area, more nikkel in this area. So like. Like I'm saying, like if a person's not dying to be mafir in all areas, like should he have this just sort in mind that like he might end up, or is it adopting in tznius?
Definitely, tznius is a good place to be mafir, but again, it should be. There's a tam to chumras that it shouldn't be fake. It shouldn't be like who you aren't. It has to be who you are. Meaning, you can't take on all chumras you read in a book that this is a good chumra. Then the male. Every chumrah that I read about, I'm going to take. There's a lot of issues in chumrahs. I don't know. I gave a shiur last summer. I brought up 7 in Yanim in chumrahs. I don't know. Maybe sometime we'll talk about it. But there's a lot of in Yanim that need to be cheshbined out when it comes to taking on chumrahs. Shouldn't be a chumrah bali de kula. It should be a chumrah that your mamash, you're really holding by. It shouldn't be fake. Right? It shouldn't be yorah for sure. But also the most important chumra is that it should be your chumra. Shouldn't be your wife's chumra, shouldn't be your children's chumra. It should be your chumra. You shouldn't make chumras on Yenim's cheshbon. It's not, I once heard from there's a Rav who darshans a lot in Brooklyn, I think, Rav Zev Smith. So I heard a tape from him about the topic of Mishkal HaChasidus. Not just being machmer, but you have to cheshbon out the chumras very well. He says, if you want to be machmer in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, you're yeshiva bacher and you're in line in the yeshiva for Shabbos lunch, and you have kol minei chumras when it comes to Netilas Yadayim, and you want to make sure that there isn't a molecule of moisture on your hands, and you want to make sure that you're going to wash, you know, with whatever chumras you're going to keep. So he says, that's fantastic. You should do that. Just make sure you're on the back of the line, right? Not everybody else on the line has to wait for your chumras. You understand? You want to be machmer, I'm not going to be somech on Erevin. I don't know who Erevin. That's for Balabatim. That's not for me. I'm very from, you know. So I'm not going to be somech on Erevin. So what's the? Not my wife. She could be somech on Erevin. She's a Balabasta, you know. So okay. So that means you're never going to pick up the kids when they're running into the street. You're never gonna push a baby stroller. You're never going to do. Okay. So it's not so push it. You know. That's not necessarily the chumrah that you should take on if you're living in a community where people spend a lot of time outdoors. On Shabbos, you know, so you have to be smart about it. You know, I'm gonna take on all the chumras and yonit znias for women, seeing as how I'm a man. So I'm gonna be exceedingly machmer with any woman who asks me any questions. I'm gonna tell my wife what to do. I'm gonna tell all my daughters what to do. Everybody's gonna know what to do for me. You know, while I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt. You know, so everyone's gonna know. I'm saying, it's not so push it. Balamaisa, Bizman Azeh, where you know, you'll, if you look in the Lushan of many, many poskim, they'll say, Bizman Azeh, where there's such, everybody's poritz geder in these inyanim, everyone's poritz geder in these inyanim, the, well, what does that say?
Little bandanas. I guess wait for the end.
Bandanas?
I just put bandanas.
Oh, okay. So, no, but what I'm saying is, in Yanei Tznius, we're living in a door, you know, where there's no such thing. You know, there's poshut no such thing as a concept of people, whether it's in terms of dress or even in just terms of the way people behave. It's such a generation of pritzus, even just in terms of the way people put themselves out there in every way, shape, or form. You know, not even in terms of physically putting themselves out there, but just in terms of everyone has to know what I ate for breakfast. You know, and everyone has to know what my status is, and everyone has to know all this stuff about me. So that's, you know, we're living in a door of pritzus. It's not a many poskim advise that these are good places to be machmer. So for the men, there's an inyan to be machmer for tznius also, lav davka in modes of dress for sure, but also in modes of, you know, not being, you know, a poritz personality that you have to always. Not everyone needs to know your business all the time. You know, it's an important thing to keep in mind. The world will still go on. You know, yeah.
Are there any specific laws that men wearing shorts and t-shirts? Or
I don't know. You wanna look in the Kedoshim Tiyu. You ever see that book, the Green Book, written by I think Rav Shmuel Katz, America's Harav guy. I don't know where he's holding now. It was written probably about 25 years ago. He goes through all these inyanim b'arichus. He has a whole chelik on tznius for men, right? But okay, you take a look. No, I'm not joking. Okay. Anyway, all right. What about non-married women? So there's an interesting lushan in the Rambam. The Rambam's in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, Perek Chaf Aleph, Halacha Yud Zayin. So he writes like this: Lo teilachna benos Yisrael prus rosh bashuk, afilu pnuya, va'achas pnuya va'achas eishes ish. And that's the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch in Evan Ezer Simon Chaf Aleph Sif Beis, that even a pnuya should not walk prus rosh in the shuk. And we pointed out that that's not the way we paskin. We paskin like the rosh that we quoted in Maseches Brachos, that pnuyos can be holich b'shuk b'per rosh. So all the nosa kelim has is kasha. It's pasha kasha, right? So the Magen Avraham in Siman Ayin Hay gives a teretz that it meant that the minig for pnuyos was to have a braid, that they wouldn't have all of their hair exposed; it would be braided up, right? That meant some chassidim are machmir for this, that the non married girls have braids. And I think there's even a rhyme to the reason that they do it. If she's of marriageable age, they have two braids or one. They switch it up based on if she's holding in the parasha or not. But lamaisa, they are makbid that like this Magen Avraham. However, the Beis Shmuel points out that what the Rambam and the Mechaba were referring to is an almana or a grusha. That's what it means, that even a pnuya has to have her hair covered. He's referring to Amana and Grusha. But the Chalkas Machokik, which is the other major pirush on Evan Ezer, he writes in Sifkat and Beis, the Beis Shmuel's in Sifkat and Hay, Chalkas Machokik in Sifkat and Beis writes that we're talking about a ba'ula. Lav Dafka, a woman who was married, but if she's even just a ba'ula, then we also have to be makbid that she should keep her hair covered. The Vilna Gaon in Sifkat Yud Aleph points out, he says, where do we get this from? Where's the Rambam getting this from? So he says, he's medayik in the Lashon Gemara, that the Gemara wrote, Azhara libnos Yisrael. It doesn't say Azhara liisha. Normally we don't have such a Lashon, Azhara libnos Yisrael. That's all he says. The Gra Kedarko is extremely bekitzer. And the Bach also has a similar diuk. I thought the pshat was that it says libnos Yisrael, and not kol b'nos Yisrael, or not isha. Meaning, it means when it says b'nos Yisrael, it means a chelik of b'nos Yisrael. I'm not sure if that's what he meant, though. But lamaisa, that's his diyuk. But the problem is, that line is going on what? That line is going on the line that says, Rosh HaPeru is Daraisa. How do we know? Because it quotes the puzzle, and that's an Asar Libnos Yisrael, Shalei Yitzub. You know, so that's part of the Daraisa. So it's Mashma from the Gra and the Bach that they hold that even by an Alman or a Grusha, or maybe even a Ba'ula, that it's Daraisa. So, okay, so Lamaisa, we saw Rav Moshe seems to take it as a Dover Pashut that that's not the case, that we don't paskin that it's Daraisa. Right? Remember, if you recall, he was talking about an Almana who needed that job. So he was makel by for a head covering for her. Okay, but Lamaisa, it is on the books from some very important poskim that they hold that even by an Almana or a Grusha, that it's a Chiyav Daraisa, that her hair remained covered. But Lamaisa, it's not so posh. Yeah.
In the Rambam, you're saying that he's not talking about a Pnuya being a single girl. That means as her Lebanus Yisrael is already excluding Pnuya. So why do you have to say that Almana and the Grushas are not included in Pnuya? Why do you have to say they're part of everyone else?
Why do you have to say? I don't understand the question.
That they have to cover their hair just like a married woman.
Right.
Because like it's not called Lebanus Yisrael.
Right.
Excluding Pnuya, excluding real Pnuya. Why are they not grouped in the same category as Pnuyas? Why are they more like an Isha?
Because they were once married. They once had a Chiyav Daraisa to cover their hair, so that Chiyav remains. I'm saying once it was a Gnai for them, however you want to learn the Pshat, like Rashi, I'm saying once it was a Gnai for them to have their hair uncovered, it remains a Gnai even after the fact. I think that's what he's learning. Lav Dafka on a level of Daraisa, though. I'm saying, I don't know, it was a Diuk, but it's not so Pashit. So it's definitely against Rav Moshe. He says Beferish that you could even be Mekel Halach Lamaisa because it's definitely the Rabbanan. But Lamaisa, okay. All right. Now, last but not least, what about the Inyan Kriyashma in one's own home? So this is a very famous machlokas between the modern day poskim, between the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, both in Siman Ayin Hey. I'll read you the Lashon of the Aruch HaShulchan. This Aruch HaShulchan, I don't think people do it anymore, but it used to be misquoted a lot.
Don't
I don't think people misquote this Aruch HaShulchan anymore. Last time I heard this Aruch HaShulchan misquoted by someone who should know better was about three years ago. I don't want to say any more than that. But there are some still going around misquoting this Aruch HaShulchan. So I'll read it to you mila by mila so there shouldn't be any confusion. It says, Va'ata, now, Bo v'natzavach v'natzavech al pirtzus doreinu b'avonaseinu harabim shezeh shanim rabo shenifritzu b'nos Yisrael b'avon zeh v'holchos b'gili arosh. Right? So he says, let's talk about this terrible, and let's cry out against this terrible breakage of our generation with our many sins, that it's been for a number of years that Jewish women have been violating this sin and going with their hair uncovered. Again, you know that Rav Yechiel Michal Epstein was you know, one of the great poskim of Lithuania, and he was referring to the Lithuanian women who did not cover their hair. You know, the vast, vast majority of Lithuanian women did not cover their hair. Mekol Masha Tsaku Alze Hulola Azor Lola Ezer Lola Hoil, and anybody who complains about this and cries out about it doesn't do any good. The Ata Right, says, and now you can't tell the difference. All the married women walk around with their hair just like single women. Woe is to us that this has happened in our days, in our generation, in our days. Sorry. So he says, so if anyone ever tells you the Aruch HaShulchan holds Halach L'maisa that now that it's common that married women don't have to cover their hair anymore, you could just look in Siman Ayin Hey Siv Zayin, where he bemoans this. I'll read you the rest of it. He says, "Mikol Makom, Kopanim, Ledina Nirishemutur Lana Lispalo Luvarech Neged Roshena Magulos." See, the but Halacha L'Maisa, if your own wife or someone else's wife does not cover her hair, it is still mutter to daven and to make brachas while facing their uncovered hair. Kaven she'ata ruban holchos kach v'havi kimakomos hamagulim megufa k'mosh kasev amordechai b'shem Rav Yah, etc. And he quotes the Mordechai. Fine. Okay, we'll leave it at that. So he says that the pshat is that nowadays, since the women don't cover their hair bichlal, it's considered like makomos amagulos, and therefore there's no iser to say kriya shma and to daven and to make brachas in front of the uncovered hair. Okay, so that's where people get the misconception about the Aruch HaShulchan, because the Aruch HaShulchan holds halacha l'maisa if you're at the table and you need to bench. So do you have to turn around like this and hold your bencher up like that, whatever, or can you just bench normally? So the Aruch HaShulchan holds you allowed to bench normally. You don't have to worry about the hair. And Mestami is working with the same svara that we mentioned b'shem Rav Moshe. Rav Ad Yosef also holds this way, by the way, halacha l'maisa, that nowadays, that since hair is not objectively erva, the same way basar is, it's only erva in the sense that it's makomos hamachusin because there's a chiyev to cover it. Therefore, if you would live in a society where nobody covers it, so there wouldn't be, it's considered makomos hamagulus now. In other words, there's still a iser to cover it / chiyev to cover it. Again, I'm not sure which one based on the two deis and Rashi. But at the end of the day, there's no din makomos hamachusos. That's the vort. And that's why Rav Moshe was makel by up to a tefach, even according to the first day and the Ramah. And that's why the Aruch HaShulchan is coming out like that, and that's why Rav Ad Yosef spells it out also. And that's the sheet, that's the famous sheet of the Aruch HaShulchan. So based on this lamdas, people came out and said the Aruch HaShulchan holds that nowadays there's no inyan to cover. Okay, it's not true. Nice, you can see it for yourself. Yeah.
Nowadays they become more popular. Would that still be
I don't know. I think we're still holding by enough people that don't do it, so it's still makomos hamachusos at this. Makomos hamagulin at this point. I think we're still holding by that, but I'm not sure. Yeah.
Can you say that it's still on each woman individually? The question is talking about is like if she never covered it, it never comes into makom erev.
No, I don't think so.
So let's say a woman sometimes wears something she doesn't. So then would you be allowed to?
I don't think it's telling the individual.
It's not.
I don't think it's telling the individual. No. The Mishnah Brura disagrees. Mishnah Brura is in Sifkat and Yud. He repeats himself a little bit in the Bir Halacha. He writes, and this is a quote from the Mishnah Brura: "Va'afilu im ein darka lechasoso rak b'shuk v'lo b'bayis v'chatzer." This is kind of what you were saying, Rabbi. That if you have a woman who only covers her hair in the shuk but not at home, mikol malkom bechlal ervehi lekulei alma afilu b'bayis va'aser sham likros negda im nizgalik tzas mehem. Right? So he says that it's still usher to say kriyishma in front of your own wife's uncovered hair, even if it's in the house. It says v'da od da filum derech ha'isha v'chavroseh ba'osam makam leilech b'gili arosh b'shuk k'derech ha'prutzos usher u'kemo le'inyan gili shoka da usher b'chol gavne. So he says it's the same exact thing as if everybody walks around in a bathing suit. It doesn't make a difference. He says it's objectively considered erva, and even if you're living in a place where mamish nobody covers their hair, he says it's still usher to say kriya shma in front of that. Okay. Lamaisa, the olam is definitely noig to be makel, unlike the Aruch HaShulchan. But there is, when I was engaged, I was learning Hilchos Nida over the summer, and there was a very, I don't want to say names because I was told he actually says the opposite publicly, but I was spending time talking in these inyanim with this particular posik, and he recommended to me that it's worthwhile to be machmer like the Mishnah Brura in my own home, but lemaisa, I was told that when he speaks to chassanim, he tells them that they could be samech on the Aruch HaShulchan. So I don't know what the motivation was or what, but I'm saying, but lemaisa, there is the olam is knowing to be very makel. I believe Rav Moshe was also makel. Makes sense based on the other tshuva that he was makel, based because he holds the same svar as the Aruch HaShulchan. But lemaisa, yeah. So it's easy to be machmer, believe it or not, unless you want to say a long dvar Torah. I would say that this is not the chumrah to chop per se if you're already living in a house where there's married women whose hair is uncovered. So I don't think this is like the big chumrah that you want to bring home, and that every time you ever want to say a halacha or a dvar Torah or a bracha or benching or a kriyishma, you all of a sudden like turn, like the chayyadim holds you, mamish, you have to turn your whole body. So I'm saying, we'll find you some other nice chumras to take on. You don't have to dafka make it this one, you know, when you're a big boy and you get your own place. So maybe you could think about it, but not right now, I don't know. Anyway, forgot to mention one other thing. The famous Gemara in Gittin is talking about when you're talking about being machmir on other people's cheshbonos, and even on your own cheshbon. There's a very famous Gemara in Gittin: the olam al yato adam ema yisir b'toch beso. Right, this is a person should not create a level of fear inside of his own home. Mentions that the Pilegish Begiva only started because a person was too machmir, not machmir and dinim, but machmir on his own, getting people in trouble. So keep in mind that the house should be a house with shalom bayis, you know, is just as important as a house with a lot of chumras, you know. So so you have to be smart about it. You have to make sure that that everybody's on board, you know, and yeah, whatever. Use seichel. There is an inyan to use seichel. Yeah.
That supposing, I asked you, say I did only by one, like with benching or whatever, you know, like brachos, or at all times in that?
No, for benching and for brachos. No, there is an additional level. There is the chumra of kimchis that the Mishnah Berurah does recommend. He does say that if you're looking for chumras, this is a good one. You know, that there, in other words, it's not, you're not a chassid shoter or anything like that if you do it, but
even while sleeping and everything, like,
I don't know. If the shaila is basically if your wife is a nida, Rav Moshe has a big kula that he writes that a woman when she's a nida only can dress the same way she normally dresses around the house. That is Rav Moshe's big kula. So this particular Rav said, even though I know for a fact that in public he mentions Rav Moshe's kula to people, he said to me he didn't think that halacha l'maisa, I should rely on it, and also he said, and then he said, and certainly for benching and for kriyishma and things like that in general, you should be makbid for the Mishnah Berurah's sheet, that he just mentioned it derech agav, you know. So okay, that's how I heard it. Again, I can't give it over definitively, because it wasn't asked definitively. It was just, we were just talking about one particular circumstance. Yeah.
So hair that is coming out behind the head, like towards the shoulder area, that like should be covered.
Yeah, for sure. According to the Chasam Sofer,
right.
For sure, according to the Chasam Sofer and the Zohar, but even Rav Moshe, I think, was saying that you should. There are some shittas that seem to say that if it's not part of the ikker scalp, there's no inyan to cover it, because that's not part of the din of Uparas Rosha. Uparas Rosha is dafka that the Rosh is makom samachusa. That's why he says that some women have a minig dafka just to wear the hat, and that's it. Okay, I don't think Rav Moshe was recommending that. I think he was saying that that a tefach of the head could be uncovered, but not talking about having all the hair flow out from under the rest of the head. So I think in Davar Pashat that's not what he meant. But there are, it is reported on the books. I don't remember who says it, but there is. If you want a ton of shittas, if you're really interested in this topic for some reason, Rabbi Schiller wrote an article in the RJJ Journal, like, probably about 15 years ago, 20 years ago. So he collects all kinds of shittas there. And Rabbi Broid, he has a shita that I don't know what it is. You know Rabbi Michael Broid, he's a member of the Beis Din of America. He's a real Talmud Chacham. He has a shita about women's head coverings, or he's extremely makel, I believe. But I don't know what it's based on. I do know that he's held this way for a long time, and it's been before some, because he wrote a letter to the editor when Rabbi Schiller wrote that RJJ article. So he wrote something in, and I only know what it says in that article, in that little letter that he wrote. But apparently this year, or recently, published like a 75-page paper on the topic. So, like, I don't know what to say besides if you're going to write 75 pages on this topic, like, got to be something in there, you know? So if you're very interested, and supposedly he was defending this big cooler that he has, Lemaisa, whatever he says, it's going to be at the very least well thought out and well researched. Yeah.
With Aruch Shulchan in this cooler referring to even non-married, sorry, even people that aren't your wife and girls. That
yeah, it sounds. I think so. Yeah. What shoe? I think. What did I say? Lamed Hay? Lamed Hay. I don't know. I can never remember where anything is. I always write it down. Chasam Sofer is in Lamed Vav. Or Chaim Sin in Lamed Vav. Yeah.
It might be like, these things all apply to like even like family members? In terms of making brachas? I mean, what, like, it's just Erva or...
People who are of age. That's a Shiloh the post can talk about. What is of age? Definitely in terms of Kriya Shema and those Dvarim Shel Kedusha and things like that. So any woman, you know, is real erva would be a problem. Uncovered hair from a married woman, I think that's the debate. But like if you have a teenage sister or whatever, saying yes, yeah, so you can't, that for, even if there's no Isser to Dafka be around, but there, there's definitely an Indian not to, for brachas and divrei Torah and things like that to try to be machmir. What age exactly? So some are machmir for the age of 3 and up. But then the Maisa, the Chazon Ish was quoted as having said that it's really totally on when she goes from being a little girl to a young lady. Like not, Slav Zafkovich, you put an age, it's not on the din of when she's royal at Bia. So saying it's really totally much more on when she starts, you know, becoming a girl, not just like a little, like a cute little kid, you know. So that's I don't know. Sounds like it's more subjective. Yeah. For Goyim's uncovered hair, I don't think. No, I think if there's no Goyim, I think somebody said Beferish that it's not a problem. I don't remember who, but. I don't remember who it was offhand, but it's a, since they have no chiv to cover it in the first place, it's not a problem. It's like a pnuya. Same. No. For body parts, it's the same. But Moshe writes that by kolisha, he says that anyone with whom there's an iser tashmish, all the dinim of erva apply. So he says, so somebody asked him about kolisha of a guy. So he says, if there's an iser bia with it, with a nachris, and then there's an iser kolisha with a nachris. Right. I don't know. Okay. Finkin has a lot of things. Mustami has something on this too. I don't know.